Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. This morning's message is brought by Pastor Shane Budby.
Yeah, it's, I kind of know what it feels like to be a travelling minister now. It's kind of. Yeah. I'm so excited about this message. I've driven all 2 hours to get here to deliver it this morning. So the only thing, I've just had a laugh with Pastor Lynn. I'm not going to do like most travelling speakers do and drop a bomb which the pastor then has to pick up the week later. So, because guess who'd be picking up the pieces of his own preach? But yeah, just I think to some degree, having had that time driving here for a couple of hours has given me like that whole block of 2 hours in the car on my own to be thinking through this message. So I was just saying to Faye before, I can't wait much longer to deliver this morning's message because I just need to get it out now. So I kind of said, well, let's just do things a bit different then. Let's bring the message forward a little bit and let's worship God afterwards. But yeah, I'm excited to be here. Are you excited to be here?
Yeah.
It's good. Excellent. It's always exciting to be in the house of God.
Yeah.
And today is an exciting day. And I'm looking forward to this message. We're continuing with the I Declare. And I don't know about you, but I've been finding, even though I'd like been working through this stuff myself and kind of trying to get it rooted in my own life before bringing this particular series, I'm still getting loads more out of it, of recognizing like the stuff I need to declare over my life and the power of making those declarations. And it's been great for us as a family because we're able to hold one another accountable to the stuff that I've preached. So the other day I was like saying that, like, I think I'd got like a pain in my sinuses, and Sam was kind of saying, you know, that's not good. Would you like me to declare some stuff with you about that? I was like, oh, you've listened to the message, haven't you? I was like, of course, yeah, that'd be great. Let's declare some stuff together. But today, I want to continue with, as I've said before, I don't want to focus in this series on the stuff that we shouldn't declare. I want to focus on the things that we should declare and focus on the things we should be saying. And then hopefully as we get an idea of what we should say, we'll naturally stop saying the things we shouldn't say anyway. It's that kind of, there's a something in its place to say, okay, I just caught myself up. I don't want to declare that. I want to make sure that what I'm declaring is this. I want to be declaring kingdom over my life. And the whole overarching of this series is it's about declaring kingdom over and into your life, into your family life, into the church life, into the nation, into the nations. And the declarations are powerful. It's more than just saying something. Declaration is something with intent and making a difference. And you can usually tell when people are making a declaration. They move from like mumbling prayers of just like, oh God, and just kind of thank you for today, and you know, kind of like, remember, it's like, God, I thank you for today and I declare it's going to be great. And people like get really, there's something about the fire of God when we start to declare. So today's declaration that I want to look at is, I declare I will experience God's faithfulness. I will not worry. I will not doubt. I will keep my trust in Him.
Yeah.
That's a great declaration. And I don't know about you, it's a great declaration, but it's one of those ones that this kind of stuff I really struggle to live out on a day-to-day basis. I do worry, and I do doubt, and I don't always keep my trust in Him, but I'm declaring that as I continue that declaration and live in such a way that something's going to change in my life, something's going to change in your life, where something shifts completely. And I want us to just look at Hebrews 13, 5-6. And this is one of those nice little gems where there's so much in one passage of scripture that you could go in a whole manner of directions with it. But let's go through it first. And it says this: don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you.
Yeah.
So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? And there's so much in there, like every line is kind of like, you could preach on that. And but I want today, I want to be as practical as possible. I want us to go away today not thinking, well, that was great and I've learnt something. I've got some more head knowledge. I want us to go away today with some really practical stuff so that we don't leave this place before thinking, okay, well, I can do that. I can make a shift and a change today that involves doing something along those lines. And I will experience God's faithfulness. Keyword in there is faith. And so faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So basically, faith is about having a faith and a hope in things we don't see. That scripture reminds me of another one of those cheesy Christian chat-up lines that I read, which was, is your name Faith? Because you're the substance of things I've been hoping for. Whether or not people actually use these, I've got no idea. And if they, you know, I kind of like to watch somebody do it and just see what happens. But anyway, it's faith. So faith is it's living a life in the light of what hasn't happened yet, and it's looking at things in a completely different way. It's looking to the future and recognizing I can't necessarily see these things. I can't see what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen, but I have faith in the faithfulness of God that something good is going to come of it. I have faith in this situation, and faith doesn't look at the material possessions. You know, we can have faith for a new car, but we don't have faith for the salvation of our family. And as I said in week one, you know, our Western mindset with regards to faith and provision gets so wrapped up in material stuff. And, you know, any of the guys who've been out to Africa will probably give testimony even better than I can about the difference in a faith declaration out there and a faith declaration here. It's a different kind of mindset. It's a different way of living. And for us in our Western, we get focused on faith, looks at the material possession, when really faith should be looking at the spiritual provider. Faith is looking at a spiritual provider in God, of saying, okay, God, you are my provider. You are the one that brings a spiritual level of provision into my life. It's not about, yeah, you know, God is our provider in everything. But so often we get, I don't know, I'm sometimes guilty of it as well, of thinking of like looking at God and sometimes seeing God like a bank manager or something, and rather than my spiritual provider. And eventually get to the point of recognizing, you know what? God provides so much more for me than just the financial element. The first line of that, don't love money, be satisfied with what you have. And we're told all the time in the Bible, aren't we? Don't fall into the trap of money, don't fall into the trap of mammon. And I'm going to come on to that a little bit later. But recognizing the spiritual provision of God in our lives is far greater than the physical provision that we get. The physical provision's great, and we're blessed to live where we live and have what we have. But the spiritual provision of the spiritual provider is something more. So I want to quickly look at the spiritual provision side. So God is our provider. Yep. So I will experience God's faithfulness. I won't worry, I won't doubt, and I'll keep my trust in Him. So He's our provider. And we're told in Matthew, that in Matthew 6, I think it is, that to stay free and live free from the love of money, Jesus tells us that we can't love money, but it's actually not money, it says mammon, which is the spirit upon money. So money in and of itself isn't necessarily the issue, it's the spirit on money. Mammon is the Hebrew word that refers to the spirit upon money. So we can't love money and love God. We can't love both, because we're putting our trust in one or the other. We either depend on earthly treasure or we depend on a spiritual provider. Or, you know, there's no in between, it's just one or the other. You know, it goes and says you can't serve two masters. Yeah. And, you know, we're either looking to God to be our spiritual provider, or we're looking to the world to be our spiritual provider with its system and the monetary system of the world and anything else that comes. And so often we forget that, and I don't know, maybe it's just me, but the stuff that we accumulate on earth just isn't going to be worth anything. Mm. It's just not going to be worth anything. The treasures on earth, moths are going to destroy it, and thieves can break in and steal it. And, you know, it's just one of those things that, yeah, in the short term, a short-term thinking loves that kind of stuff. But when we start to think it with an eternal perspective, we think, actually, this is not worth anything. This is not worth a thing. This is not going to be there when I'm crossing over into the next life, when I'm standing before God. It's not going to be there. And, you know, we exchange the provision of God and the worship of God for the worship of the other thing. Our declaration isn't that I'll trust in your faithfulness. Our declaration is, well, I'll trust in my paycheck. Or I declare I will experience increase. And, you know, all these things are great, but our faith goes into something far different. We put our faith in the monetary system and the material system, and we start to get our mind off that, and we see that God is the one that is the provider. It says in the book of Romans, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator. And that's quite a hard word, isn't it, really? It's kind of like, whoa, that's a bit hard. But faith sees what can't be seen. And with God's faithful provision, all our needs are met. He feeds us, He clothes us.
Yeah.
And that's a promise.
Mm. Yes.
You know, I often say, you know, Rita kind of caught my end last week of once I get talking about the government and their whole push to say, basically. And my thing is that for us as a family who has a Sam who stays at home to work and raise the family, you're kind of like made to feel like lepers because you're not both working. It's kind of like you should both be working and all this kind of stuff. It's like, you know, we're not going to help you if you don't go to work and this kind of stuff. It's a bit different to when I was a kid. You know, my mum stayed at home and raised us and, you know, praise God we're able to do that. And Rita got the end of that once I get on my high horse talking about that. I'm kind of like, I'm not going to do that now. I need to stop, cut off. I'm not going to get into a thing of that. But, you know, it'd be so easy for us to look at a situation and think as a family, well, the government's cutting this there and this is cutting there, and the provision that we get, like, that, you know, we can't, they don't get benefits for that and you don't get an allowance for that. But every time it's like, you know what, I don't care what the Chancellor says is going to give us, because God is going to provide. God provide. If we know we're living how God said, if God has said, okay, this is, you're to work, you're to stay at home and look after the family, if that's what God said, He's not going to leave us in need. So every time I like look at it, I get frustrated about it, but, you know, I soon move on to think, you know what, God, you're my provider. And I love this scripture. It says in Psalm, it says, I was young and now I'm old. That's not a very good declaration, is it? That's sort of funny. I was on a stag, my brother-in-law's stag do yesterday. The amount of people that pointed out my grey hair was unreal. So that's just hilarious after week one as well. They're like, oh yeah, you've got a bit of grey hair going, aren't you? What, 32? I was like, well, yeah, I started going grey at 16. You know, it's a sign of wisdom. And but yeah, I was young and now I'm old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or the children begging for bread. What a promise.
Awesome.
You know, it doesn't matter what provision what the government has said, we're giving you this or this is happening. The provision doesn't come from there. The provision comes from God. Yeah. And I've never been forsaken and I've never been begging for bread. You know, sometimes Audrey's bread's so nice, you're kind of begging each other to have some more, aren't you? But that's a different kind of, like, that, you know, we're not, you know, please can I have some more? It's a bit funny, it's not quite the same now, but I remember we used to meet at the school, and after communion, there used to be a group of kids, like, flocking around pastel in at the communion table, like, please, sir, can I have some more? Oh, please, madam, can I have some more? It's like, break up all this bread and break it up. It's like, yeah. So, yeah, maybe we've got that wrong, maybe the kids were begging for bread, but you know what I mean? It wasn't a provision thing. Is it, you know, we love Audrey's bread, so we want to beg for the bread because it's so good. But we're not left begging for our needs. We're not, the righteous are not forsaken. We're not left begging for it. And God provides, and God's provision comes, and it comes in a way that God is saying, I will provide for you when your trust is in me. And as we think about that, you know, when we worry about the provision, we actually start worshipping the created thing rather than the creator. Because
wow.
We're giving it more power than it's worth.
Yeah.
We take our eyes off God and we put our eyes onto something else. And we're worrying, am I going to be provided for in this? We're taking our eyes off God, and the declaration isn't, God, you're my provider. Our worry speaks for itself and is a declaration in and of itself that, you know what, I'm actually quite worried about this, and I'm going to put my eyes on this and take them off the creator. But yet we need to recognise that God is our provider.
Yep.
But to prove that, we've got to stop worrying.
Yeah.
And that something's got to change on the inside of us. Something in our spirit has to shift and change on the inside. Say, I'm not worrying about this anymore. Because when I worry, I'm taking my eyes off of God. When I take my eyes off God, I worry about this thing. And I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm stopping worrying. Because when I worry, it's actually an indication of how much I'm trusting God in this situation. And you probably think, that's really hard to do. Yes, it is. But by the Spirit of God, we can do all things. And not many things are very easy. Anything worth having isn't easy. You know, you feel so much better about something when you've worked hard on it, don't you? You kind of look and you think, wow, look at that. I worked so hard on that. You know, I still keep looking at the pictures of the playhouse that I renovated, that the Mazers gave us, which I renovated and painted and is now set up in the garden. Think, I enjoy looking at it. Elijah likes playing it, but I just kind of like stand at the kitchen and not think, oh yeah, look at that. And I'm showing my parents it when they come, before he gets a chance to show his grandparents. I was like, come and have a look what I've done. Come and have a look at this that I've built. And as you work hard, because you've worked hard at something, and it's kind of thing, you know, yeah, great. I love that. I'm standing back and looking at you, what you've worked on. Everybody does it at faith camp when they've eventually got their tent off. Yeah, that was That was hard work. See all these people after they've got their hotels set up on the units. So it's a different kind of thing. Yeah, that was hard work. I've done it. And pretty much the same on the last day as well. Once the car's packed up, before you close the boot, it's looking like, yeah, I got it down and back in the car. That's good. That was hard work, but I'm happy with that. And as we see that, you know, that's provided. That's, you know, hard work is just something that comes with living. And that is it. But God is the one who provides. God is the one that brings the stuff. So God's provision is great, and He provides those things. He provides the stuff that we need, not only the material things, but every other element of that spiritual need. He provides it. He is the provider. He's faithful to provide to us what it is that we need. He's faithful to provide every strength, every word, everything that we need to hang on. He provides it. He never leaves us forsaken. Never leaves us begging for bread. When we are living in line with His ways, we are living. You know, so there's the key, isn't it? It says there that I've never seen the righteous forsaken. When we're living righteously, we're never forsaken. We're never begging for bread. When we are living in that way, when we are living how God has called us to live, He is able to release so much into our lives, so much spiritual blessing, so much spiritual provision is able to be released right into the very heart of your life. And it will never, we all know this, never ask you to do anything without already providing for you to do it. Every gift, every word, every financial need, every physical need that is needed to do what He has asked you to do, He has provided.
Good.
He's provided it. Sometimes we need to take a step of faith to activate it and get things going a little bit. And, you know, don't you just love those times when you kind of, like, you know God's there and you know His faithfulness is coming through, but it's like, I know something's required of me first. And once I step out, some of this stuff's going to start to activate. But I'd really like it if you activated it first and then I'll step into it. But God's like, no. Come on. It's supposed to be a man of faith.
Yeah.
Get faith into action. Step into it and you're like, oh yeah, that's I've done it now, that's not so bad, and blah blah blah, this is going on and it's great. But you know, have you ever been there before? You're thinking, come on God, just like release it first. So it's nice and easy. But again, it's not easy. And not only does God release the gifts and the things that the material things into our life, but the most amazing one for me is that He provides our needs. But He goes even further and provides us with His very presence. What a thing to provide us with, the presence of God. He provides us with His very presence all the time.
Yeah.
Awesome. All the time. Not just when we're in church, not just when we're at faith camp, which some people might think. God's presence is only at the showground. God's presence is with us all the time.
Yes, that's good.
He provides us with His very presence. And the author of Hebrews is quoting the Old Testament in when he says that, I will never fail you, I will never abandon you. That is an amazing promise. I will never fail you, I will never abandon you. God is talking about His very presence there. I'm not going to leave you without my presence. My presence isn't going to leave you. Sometimes you might not feel it, you might not get the same sensations, but it's there. My presence is with you. And that's a truly amazing promise. But when God gave that promise to Joshua and the children of Israel as they were about to enter the promised land, they believed Him long enough to conquer the city of Jericho. Except one guy, Achan, kind of lost sight a little bit. He forgot that God would never leave him or forsake him, and he stole some of the loot that was they were told by God not to. And he stole some of the loot from Jericho. He forgot that God was with him all the time, and he didn't obey. And surprise, surprise, he got caught. You know, it kind of just happens. But just a touch on that, you know, what was the first city to be taken in the promised land?
Jericho.
What belongs to God?
The first.
So the first city, the first city in the promised land, Jericho, was the tithe to God. It was God's, it was the tithe to God, which is why I told Joshua and the people of Israel, you don't take the stuff from Jericho, you leave it as an offering to me. That is mine. That is the Lord's. That is the first. The first fruits of every increase belongs to the Lord. The first of everything is His. The tithe belongs to the Lord. And Achan lost sight of that. He probably didn't recognize. He just got a little bit greedy or whatever. But he basically robbed God of the tithe. And it didn't end well for him. Anybody that's read the story will know that Achan and his family were stoned to death as a result of, because a curse had come upon the whole of the camp until they figured out what's going on here. It's like, well, somebody's stolen from me. It's the equivalent of somebody coming up and just going, you know what, oh, I declare God's faithfulness. That's how I'm going to put it back, don't worry. But you know, he stole from the tithe. He took. He didn't just like withdraw from God what was God's. He took what was God's. And I've not got time today to go into a whole tithe preaching again. But you know, if you've not heard the Aaron Jane message about the principle of the first, or read The Blessed Life, I recommend it, because you know, I've always been a tither ever since I got saved, but only in the last year have a really grasped a proper understanding of the principle of the first and principle of tithing as a result of particularly that book and the ministry at Faith Camp last year. But it's so important, and we forget that. And you know, as the pastor today, I've got a responsibility to not just bring something that I say you can declare you will experience God's faithfulness, but not touch on the fact that if you're not bringing the tithe to God, you can't declare with all integrity that promise. I've just, you know, God just cannot access into that same level in your life because something is being withdrawn. God simply cannot do it. He will look and say, I'm sorry, but until that is in line with your life, I cannot release the fullness and the faithfulness of what I've got for you. And when that's not in place, when that doesn't happen, you know, God wants to. That's the good thing. God wants to release those things into our life. God wants to release all this stuff into our life, but He simply cannot do it. Very much like when Jesus was in Nazareth, and it says that he performed a few miracles, but he wasn't able to do the same as he had done everywhere else due to the lack of honour upon him in that place. And it says that he couldn't perform any miraculous signs. He couldn't do it because the lack of honour in the place withheld what God wanted to release in that place. And the same with your life. If you don't tithe, it withholds something out of your life which God wants to get to you. The tithe is God's anyway. The first of every increase is God's. It belongs to Him. It's not yours. It doesn't belong to you. You have to return it to its rightful owner. You just cannot take what isn't yours. And, you know, so often, you know, we declare God's faithfulness and we declare God's increase in our lives. But as soon as, I've heard countless times stories, and I'm sure Pastor Lynn has heard stories like this as well, of people who, you sit down with people who are in a bit of a mess, and they kind of say, oh, well, you know, I'm in a financial situation, so I'm really sorry, but I've pulled my tithe, I'm not tithing anymore. It's like, that's the worst possible thing you could do. That's taking a bad situation and making it so much worse than what it could have been. And you know, it's think, well, you know, I'm really struggling financially, I've had to pull my tithe, and you know, but I've still got Sky TV, and I've still got, you know, you can ask somebody, you can say, what's going on in your life? What is it that you're struggling with? It's like, well, I've got this going on, that going on. I'm reading my Bible, and I'm praying, but I'm not getting through. Well, do you tithe? No. Well, that's probably the problem then, because God wants to release so much more to you. But until you do that, God cannot do it. He wants to release it, but until he rightfully gets back what's his, and the 90% that you get to keep is redeemed of God, because as we heard in that message before, we receive that money under the world system, which is cursed, and then the 10% back to God redeems it back into the kingdom system, which brings it to be blessed. We're able to, you know, you've got the choice, 100% of cursed money or 90% of blessed money. Blessed money is going to go a lot further, and you get to see all the other stuff released into your life as well, the provision coming in as well for all those different things. So, you know, if you don't tithe, then you need to ask yourself, okay, why not? I need to do that. I need to start to do that, because I want to see the stuff that I'm hearing about this morning released into my life on a different level to what I've ever known. And the tithe is the key for that. You know, it's not, this is not a a push for money. This is just the Christian life. You know, we're financially great as a church. You know, God is our provider. We're a tithing church, so God provides our needs. So don't think, are they just short on money or something because the minister's talking about needing to tithe. No, it's not like that. One thing that really struck me was hearing somebody say that he loves his church enough as the pastor to make sure that he regularly talks about tithing because it is so important. And I really took a hold of that and thought, you know what, that's a responsibility I've got. As the leader of this church, I'm not doing my job if I don't bring this kind of stuff to our remembrance and say, do you know what, you've got to think about this. You know, so I get the nice job of doing that, but you get the nice job of hearing it and doing something with it. And seeing God's faithfulness released into your life. But, you know, that he took from the tithe and did Achan. And, you know, it ended bad for him. He didn't just see a withdrawing. He was stoned to death. And don't worry, we're not going to start checking the accounts. And, you know, we can see that you haven't tithed, you know. I'm sure that some religions do that and some cults kind of like, checking this stuff. But, you know, we're not going to do that. Don't worry, we're not going to like drag you out onto the car park. Not yet anyway, we'll wait for it. We'll wait until we've got it relayed in November and then we'll have an opening ceremony with this is a new car park, these are the people that don't tithe, grab a rock. So, it's also the same happened with Joshua as well, when the people crossed over into the promised land and the people said to them, if nobody's with the people that are against you, Joshua, we're going to stone them to death. So anybody that dislikes me as well, you're going to be included in that as well. I'm just kidding. It's important. So just remind yourself of that, of the importance of the tithe in your life, because when you make that declaration of saying, you know, I will experience the faithfulness of God, make sure that when you're making the declaration, you are able to say it with fullness. Like, I love to declare the fact that in my declarations, God, I am a tither, so therefore, I declare healing will be released in my life. God, I am a tither, so therefore, I will see the faithfulness of God released into my life. God, I am, and I put it, I mean, Sam does it more than I do, but Sam likes to just declare that into her life in these declarations, saying, I do this, so therefore I'm going to see the release of the promises that come with that. But that whole thing of having God's presence, it's great, isn't it, when we're in a situation where we want God's presence, like we're struggling, or we need to hear a scripture, or we want to get all emotionally wrapped up in an experience with God. But do you like to declare that scripture when you're doing something you shouldn't? Because that's, you know, I got a real revelation about this when I was preparing for this message. I was thinking, wow, what a great word, you'll never leave me or you'll never forsake me. And then God was like, yeah, but do you like saying that when you're doing this? I was like, oh yeah, it all counts. It's like, it's great to declare, yeah. And just like Achan, you know, he was probably watching in like march around Jericho, like, you'll never leave me or forsake me. Thank you, God. You've told us you're never going to leave us or forsake us. I'm not quite sure he was declaring it when he decided to slip a bit of the loot in his back pocket and slip off. You know, thank you, God, that you never leave me or forsake me. It's like it doesn't, you know, it's a challenge, isn't it? Because we love to declare the stuff when we need it. But do we really think about that when we're doing the stuff we shouldn't, when we disobey God, when we say something we shouldn't say, when we're acting in a way that we shouldn't act? Is that same declaration on our lips as well? Are we glad that God doesn't leave us nor forsake us at those moments, in the same way that we are when we're struggling and we really want Him to be there, when we really want the presence of God? Because you know what? It doesn't just work. God just doesn't pop up like a genie when you really need Him. Okay? God is not a genie. Yeah? He's the Father God.
Yes.
You know? And He's there all the time. Mm-hmm. And whether it's when you're doing the good things or the bad things, whether you're obeying or you're being disobedient, is there. Yeah. And that declaration stands the same. You know, He gave that promise to the people of Israel through Joshua. I'm never going to fail you. I'm never going to abandon you. Great promise. Great things are the presence of God. But let's keep in mind that, you know, when we're doing the stuff we shouldn't be doing, the presence of God's there as well. It's just like, yeah, okay. And I don't know, maybe everybody else has already got that idea. But for me, it really struck me and like, okay, yeah. Seriously, I don't sometimes declare that when I'm having an argument with Sam, or I get frustrated with Elijah, or kind of start doing the stuff I shouldn't do, or God asks me to do something, but I kind of think, I don't want to do that. You know, like, do I really have to do that? Like, and then trying to like find another way around. And it's like, no, actually, yeah, you'll never leave me nor abandon me. So I'm strengthened in that anyway, but at the same time, He's always there. And, you know, it's... Is it as convenient for us, is the question. Is it about convenience? No, it's not as convenient to have an ever-present God when we don't feel like obeying him. But it's convenient enough when we actually need an ever-present God when we're struggling with something. So just to bear in mind something along, you know, God's presence is there. He'll never leave you, he'll never abandon you, but be thinking about that all the time. That his presence is always there. It's not just there when you ask it to be there. It doesn't just appear and pop up. You know, I think sometimes we get maybe get ideas of God being like a genie or a fairy godmother, or kind of, you know, it's like, oh, I need God, where are you? It's like God's, he's blessed us with his presence through the tough times, through the bad times, through the times when we obey, through the times when we disobey. His presence is there. Just as it was with Achan. The rest of the guys got on perfectly well and managed to do as God had said, but this one person kind of forgot the fact that, well, God's watching anyway, so I better make sure I don't do that. Okay, so there's his presence, his provision, his presence, and finally his power, God's power. You know, it's in a great word, isn't it? Power. I've got the power of God working on the inside of me. And sometimes that's another difficult one to grasp and get a hold of, understanding the power of God and grasping the power of God. And, you know, for me, I can look around and I can see the power of other people and I can start to get afraid and I can start to think, you know, what are they going to do to me? What are they going to say about me? Are they going to like me? And allow other stuff to just overpower the power of God on the inside of me. And it's very rare that I can make the declaration, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid, what can mere man do to me, or what can people do to me? And I might say it, but I'm not sure I believe it all the time. And I'm sure that we're all in a similar situation, that we'd love to declare it, and we'd love to sing it, and we'd love to make that, but do we truly have a confidence in God of saying, okay, God, yeah, you are my provider, you are the one that releases. And again, the faith that we talked about, it sees what can't be seen. God sees God's power, his presence and his provision for us to take refuge in him. Faith sees something different to our physical circumstance. Faith sees something in such a way that says, okay, God, yeah, I will not be afraid. You are my helper. I'm not going to fear in this situation, because people, what can people do to me? It's a great question, isn't it? But I just got a list of stuff here. Like, what can people do to me? I suppose I could lose my job, but who has promised to always feed and clothe me? I suppose I could get sick, but who gives me breath so that I can praise him? I suppose I could be persecuted because of my faith, but who has promised to give me life till the last day? I mean, it's literally like, yes, people are the people, men, situations can do lots of things to us, but every time there's something of God that trumps that particular thing. Okay, well, kill me. I'm just going to go to glory and be with God anyway. Win-win. You know, take my job from me, but God's my provider. Take my health from me, but God's my healer. So it's always like, you know, I don't know if anybody else plays top trumps or not, but you know, top trump card, God always has the trump card all the time. Yeah. It's like, all right, so that's happened, yeah, I've got one for that. Okay, that's happened, yeah, I've got one for that. Everything, God trumps everything. Yeah. Every situation, anything, that it doesn't matter what man can do to you, what people can do to you, it doesn't matter, because God, regardless of the situation, has always got the trump card. And yes, it doesn't mean that things aren't bad and things aren't, you know, that we should pray for the persecuted church. But, you know, those guys out there, their declarations, you know what, I'm going to go and be with God anyway. You know, there's amazing testimonies of people who've been just singing worship as they've been executed and singing out to God as they've been executed, because they've got the reality and the faith of knowing, you know what, you can take my life, but it's only my physical life. Yeah, my spiritual life's going to go on in heaven. I'm going where it's way better. I'm going where there is none of this. Carry on. So God always has the trump card. God always brings us through. God always provides in such a way that we can look and say, you know what, God, that's awesome. Your power overpowers everything else. The power of God trumps every single thing. The power and the faithfulness of God enables us to live in such a way that we can say, you know what, God, I don't care what's going on to some degree, because I know that you're going to come through. I know that your power, your presence, your provision is greater than anything else that could come up against me in this life. My declaration is I'm going to experience your faithfulness. Yes. Romans 8:28-39 says, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. The only thing that can separate is when you choose to walk away. You can choose to walk away, but nothing else, no action of the enemy, no action of anybody else can cause you to be separated. Nothing can happen. Nothing. It's there. It's written down. It's in the Bible. You've got to believe it. It's true. It's the truth. So nothing can do it. God trumps everything. So just in closing, you know, dare to trust him. Dare to make that declaration and trust him. Come back to that place of peace. Every single one of us, when we experience salvation, we're in a place of peace. Some people's lasted a lot longer than others, but we're in a place of peace. For that split moment, there was a, you know, in the olden days, they didn't used to call it salvation so much. They used to actually call it, he's made his peace with God. That's how they used to refer to people coming to know. Jesus has made his peace with God. We experienced peace with God. Get that peace back. Quit being worried, stressed out, and wondering if it will happen. God's got you in the palm of his hand. Just like, you know, the Roman scriptures are a clear indication of that. He's got you in the palm of his hand. He's never failed you before. And I know that. You might feel as though he has, but he hasn't. God has never failed you. I just want to tell you that this morning. God never failed you. People might have failed you. Governments might have failed you. Family might have failed you. But God has never failed you. He's never done it before. And he's not going to start now. It's just not. He's not all of a sudden just going to think, well, you know what, I'm going to start failing people now. God never has and God never will. He truly is a faithful God.
Yeah.
I declare I will experience God's faithfulness. I will not worry. I will not doubt. I will keep my trust in him. Can we all say that declaration together to close?
Yeah.
Okay. I declare I will experience God's faithfulness. I will not worry. I will not doubt. I will keep my trust in him. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Keep your trust in a faithful God. Because it's the way to live.
Yeah.
Yes, it's not so easy. But when we make those declarations and we're trusting in God in such a way that what we've heard this morning becomes a part of us. And it doesn't, you know, it's not an instant thing. It takes time. You've got to cultivate this kind of stuff. You've got to cultivate it in your life. You've got to practice this kind of stuff in your life to get it to a point where it just become a part of you. And the words that you're speaking are just a natural thing. I think if you're anything like me, I'm still in a place where I say certain stuff and it slips out. But I'm having to cultivate something new in my life to say, okay, and I'm getting more and more aware of that. And hopefully you are too, that you start to pick yourself up on stuff before it leaves your mouth, or you start to think, okay, God, I'm going to trust you in this, but I'm not going to start to let these things get me down. I'm not going to allow those things because I've got the provision, I've got the power, I've got the presence of God with me, and he is a faithful God who's never going to let you down. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, guys.